Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. For decades, children's author Jan Brett has been enchanting people of all ages with her new and classic tales and intricate illustrations. Her newest book is Cinders, A Chicken Cinderella. In this version, Brett magically transforms the fairy tale into an 18th century Russian snowy wonderland as Cinders falls in love with Prince Cockerel at the Ice Palace.
I was speaking with my editor, and which happens fairly often, and we both have chickens. And after our business talk, we started talking about some of the problems that ensued with having a little flock of backyard chickens. And she said, "Oh, you know, sometimes they pick on the other one, and then they grow up a little bit and surprise you, and then they're the one who's the bossy one." And we were going, "Yeah, it's just like Cinderella." We both said, "It's just like Cinderella." What about a chicken Cinderella? And of course, then I had to get more elaborate and thought, what would they wear? And I thought maybe 19th century Russia would be great with the beautiful brocades and ribbons and pearls and everything. And so my husband and I went to St. Petersburg and Novgorod, and not just for the costumes, or it would be traditional dress really, but also for the architecture with the onion domes and all of that. And then the last piece of the puzzle was making the palace where Cinders goes to meet the handsome Prince Cockerel is made of ice. So that kind of makes it more magical because she gets to be in a sleigh with a troika of geese. And they're the horses. And then she meets him in this beautiful ice palace, which of course will melt as soon as it gets to be spring. So that made it... put it in another realm.
Well, you do such a wonderful job. I'd like to call it Brettizing things, because the way that your illustrations are, they're so realistic. They are so detailed. And, I mean, you're setting it in Russia, so there's this snow all around, but yet you still have the vibrant colors coming through.
Oh, thank you. And then there's a fold-out page where you can see the ballroom scene. So when we went to, it was the Museum of Ethnography in St. Petersburg. So if you could just picture like 50 fully dressed mannequins in like these glass circled containers. Well, they're standing up. You could get very close to these costumes. And so I was able to use some of those for the ballroom scene. So there's every kind of chicken you can imagine. Ones with poofs on their heads, ones with feathered feet, short legs, long legs, big long flowing tails. And then I got to put them in these gorgeous costumes. But I have to say the one page that I really felt I hit pay dirt was at a museum that was a dance museum. And they had these undergarments from the olden days, and they were all padded with lace and everything, and kind of quilted in like colors like light pink and lemon and stuff. So I got to put the haughty mother hen and her bossy daughters in the underwear that they wore, in pantaloons and stuff, just to kind of make them look more preposterous because they're so full of themselves. And chickens are just like that. I mean, that was the perfect thing, is that if you have chickens, you know, they all kind of assume a role. So, you know, you have a really handsome, dashing young, you know, Cockerel, and then you have the old guy who's like seen it all, and he's going to, things get rowdy, he's going to just show everybody, you know, calm down. And then, of course, with the young pullets are the cutest. They're just, like, running around, like, oh, I'm so important and so pretty. So it just fit.
The personalities do fit in for the story. And your names that you chose for them, Pecky and Bossy, for the two sisters.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to. I mean, I don't personally have a Pecky or a Bossy in my flock. All my chickens are nice. No, I'm just kidding. They're all very nice, but they do have personalities. And the fairy godmother. It's this kind of chicken called a silky. And it's Marco Polo actually documented it all in the olden days. It's fur. Its feathers look like fur. It doesn't have the little barbs that keeps the feather together. I mean, this chicken cannot fly in any more than a foot off the ground. And then it has black skin, dark, 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 dark eyes, dark comb if it's the male, but then it's this huge puffy top knot on top. So you really don't see the comb. You just see this big white, looks almost like the bottom of a scarf or something. It's like totally fluffy and white, and then turquoise earlobes. So it's really beautiful.
Like one of those snow bunny hats.
It looks like a snow bunny hat. Absolutely. And she's going to come on the tour with me. Yes, just before you called, I'm making their box. It's supposed to look like the palace. So they will get to go on my big bus with me, and also Cinders, who's very well behaved, and maybe a Polish, which is a kind of chicken I raise that has, they're black with a beetle green sheen, and then they have a white poof. But no roosters, because we do not want to be woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
No, that's not fun at all.
No, not on the bus, because we do a lot of book signings. We go all across the country for 2.5 weeks. So I'm bringing lots of mealyworm treats. That's their favorite, is mealyworms, live mealyworms. And then I'll bring a little exercise pen so they can go outside and get grass, because we'll be going south as well.
They showed your tour bus, which every time you go out on tour, the whole bus is the cover of your book and the characters, and it's just so exciting to see.
Well, the fun thing is I can bring my easel, and I can give a little art lesson and talk about how I got the idea for the book. Because I know so many parents feel so strongly, and teachers, about children learning to love books. And this not only accentuates the whole joy of it and fun of it, but I can do a drawing lesson, tell how I got the idea. So some of these children might want to be writers themselves. Even first and second grade, that storytelling part of you is very human. And there's a lot of children that they just need a little encouragement and some time. And then this is a little bit of a roadmap for them. So, like, this is the beginning, the middle, the end. And, you know, I keep it simple. But then, you know, it always seems to work well, because sometimes they'll draw along with me and then they'll show me their drawings. And I'm always like, that's better than I can do. Because kids have so much pizzazz to their drawings, and you lose that as you age.
Well, thank goodness you have not lost it.
Well, I don't know. I have to keep, that's why I love to illustrate books, is because I can try to put myself back into my 6-year-old year where everything was an adventure and you couldn't wait to get up in the morning, go outside and, you know, take off your shoes in the summer and roll in the snow in the winter. And, you know, so that's part of the joy of doing it for me, is just pretending I'm back there in that, at that age. It was a really happy time in my life, so. That sense of wonder, that's what it is.
Well, you bring that to us in all of your books. I mean, every time I open one, it just brings me back to being in bed with my mom as she's reading the books to me.
Oh, well, what I like, this is my happiness, because people will say, oh, you know, have you won any awards? So, you know what my reward is? It's like if a little child's looking at the book and he gets his pointer finger out and just, like, traces everything, like he's keeping track of what's going on. And so that's like a little girl will look up at me and she goes, how do you know when you're done? Which is a really, only a child would ask that, right? And I always say, it's like I feel like I can walk right into the page and then I know it's finished. So that's what I tell them. You know, it's that sense of completeness that you feel when you're finished with a project. And they're trying to figure that out. Like, how come my drawings don't look like Jan Brett's? But what they don't know is I'm on the other side thinking, boy, I wish I could get that exuberance and lack of, you know, editing, which sometimes gives you this fantastic result. You know, what happens is a lot of times the kids will write me a letter and they'll do a self-portrait. And then they'll... they'll have a little picture from school, and then they'll draw like a bear or something else, and it looks like them. It's like they've done a self-portrait as a bear. It's amazing.
That's a really great way to put it, or think of it, as a self-portrait.
Yeah.
Like working on a self-portrait, but as something else.
Yeah, because I think they look in the mirror. So it'll be something like the eyes might be quite widely spaced, or long eyelashes, or there'll just be something about the drawing that looks... Like they are. So I it's kind of fun to look at drawings and kind of look back at the child and say, is there a connection here? And a lot of people look at children's book illustrators and look at them and then look at their characters. And I have been accused of looking a little bit like my chickens.
And not our little girl in the story.
Right, more like the chicken, like the little girl. But we had the best time in Russia. We ate Russian food. We saw this incredible architecture in Novgorod, which is the ancient capital. We took like a hot, you know, steam bath where you had to get naked and, you know, you hit each other with birch branches and then you get freezing cold water on you and scream. And we went to this dacha that was in this special like a little development of Dachis, because it's where they used to have the garden plots. And there was Pavlov's dacha and Shostakovich's dacha. Oh, it was amazing. And we heard a cuckoo, which is that bird that we don't have it here. It's cuckoo, cuckoo. And I said to our guide, is that someone's alarm going off? And she goes, Jan, that's a cuckoo. Don't you have that? And I said, no, we don't. It sounds so unusual. We just immersed ourselves in Russian culture, so I would love to go back. St. Petersburg is just beautiful. And everyone has dimples. I can't figure that out.
Well, it sounds wonderful. And you really put it down on the pages so well.
This book was just pure pleasure to do. I mean, I just was so sad when it was ending.
So do you think you will set something else there?
You know, I have a book in mind, The Turnip, which is a folk tale, but it will be more rather than the lavish court style. It will be more of the countryside, you know, be the farms and stuff, because The Turnip is a traditional story. So sometimes I make stories up, like the one I'm working on now, that's a made-up one, but sometimes I'll take a tale that I just want to put a little twist on, or, you know, you don't want to see them die. You want every generation to reinvent it. Because there's some reason why that story, you know, will keep going. And Cinderella, you know, it's not really one I loved when I was little because I'm the oldest. And in fairy tales, usually it's the youngest. It's the most beautiful. She's kind and her father loves her the best. And the oldest is horrible and mean and I'm the oldest, so I could not relate. But then I started thinking of it in terms of like coming of age, like when you're, you know, let's say everybody's different, but for me, seventh grade, I was just not very happy in my own skin. Didn't look what I wanted to look like and all of that. And then all of a sudden you get to a little bit older and everything comes together. You graduate from high school and all of a sudden your hair looks pretty and you find interests and you have good friends and you think, oh, well, now I'm myself. And that's kind of what happens with her.
The name of Jan Brett's new book is Cinders, a Chicken Cinderella. Jan, thank you so much for joining us today.
You are so welcome.
Again, the name of Jan Brett's book is Cinders, a Chicken Cinderella. It is published by Putnam. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.